today on A Word to Live By.
What are you afraid of? What are you worried about today? What are you angsting over? What is it that's before you that you're a nervous wreck about? We have a great God that delivers and rescues. And what He calls you to do, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear.
Is fear holding you back in some way? Well, God not only wants to rescue you from sin, but things like fear as well. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher gives us insight into how fear debilitates us and how we can overcome it. In today's message, God rescues us from fear.
Jesus, the hope for the hopeless, repairing hearts of the broken, proclaiming God's truth in real life. It's time for A Word to Live By.
We saw last week that this great God, although we might throw things away that are broken, God uses broken things, right? And to know that not only does God rescue, but He keeps us. In Bible, when you move through Scripture and you see the salvation or the deliverance or the redemption of God, you see rescue all over. You've come to Christ, there's rescue written all over you because of this great God who loved you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says that this great God and Savior rescued us. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transformed us. It transformed you into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This rescue from darkness and its domain. Do you remember when God rescued you? Do you remember that as when you walked through life and you walked from that moment, that there was still the old man in your life, that old self in your life, and that there was this struggle and there were still things that God was doing and that God was moving, and you're here today and you realize that God is still doing this rescuing work in my life. Initially rescued. It's done. The deal is done. The transaction was made and we trusted and He rescued. But we can live the rest of our lives walking that rescue out. I want to ask you, are you walking the rescue out of God? Are you doing that? God rescues us from ourselves. God rescues from pride. He rescues from arrogance. He rescues from lust. He's the God who rescues. God rescues us from fear. God rescued me at 8 and did a work at 10 and did a work at 17 and then at 27 rescued me from fear. Fear of death, fear of dying young. God set me free. We'll talk about chains that were upon my life, the chains of fear that increased in my 20s and how much I was in bondage to that. That's my story. The rescue from fear. Real quick. 10 years old. I go to a haunted house on the street. There's a lady pretending to read palms. I stick my palm out and she points to a line and she says, "This is your lifeline. It is short. You will die young. You're going to die young." Now, I don't know if she said it that way, but that's how I heard it. I'm going to die young. And this thought was seeded into this 10-year-old heart and mind about a premature death. And I remember going to the streetlight and looking at that line she pointed at. And I thought, myself, 10-year-old, so I remember exactly where I was, of course. And the streetlight shined in my eye. And I said, "Yeah, that line's short." And I tucked it away. I didn't remember this till I was 26 years old. It didn't come to my mind. But as I grew through childhood, there were things that I was afraid of, assumptions that I would make about my future. Parents are going to die and leave me. I'm going to get stuck in an elevator and die. I'm going to die young. I'm going to get cancer. I'm going to die. And you know, seminary doesn't teach you how to deal with those kinds of things. They don't. And I come to Cottonwood, and I'm 25 years old, and this stuff jumps on me. A few years before, a great friend that was licensed together on the same day, we did ministry together as teenagers on Bourbon Street. comes down with cancer and dies. And we watch him die. We spend the last week of his life with him. And then he dies, and then we come up to Fort Worth, and this fear jumps on me, and I start feeling for lumps. I go to doctors, and they tell me, "You're the healthiest person I've seen today." But yeah, I could not walk in agreement with that. And this thing, it was like a chain around my neck, and it was fear. That's what God delivered me from. It was worry. You know, the Bible says that fear brings a snare. It brings a noose in Proverbs 29:25. But he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. The word means to be lifted, securely on high, protected. But the fear of man or the fear of anything is a snare. It becomes a snare in your life. Worry, anxiety, stress. It becomes a snare, and it became a snare in my life. And here I am, I'm 25 years old, I'm pastoring this small church in the middle of nowhere, and this stuff is growing in me and growing in me until I've got this chain around my neck. And every time I'm tempted and every time I see something, I mean, there's not a week that goes by that I'm not reading about some young Olympian reading a Reader's Digest or a magazine who's dying with cancer. It's just bombarding me. The thoughts are bombarding me. I don't find freedom. Until one day I sit with a guy and he says, "You know, you can be free from that." Really? No one's ever told me that. Yeah, matter of fact, when you accepted Christ, you don't have to live the rest of your life with this stuff getting your head beat in. Really? Because you're getting your head beat in by fear. Let me ask you, what are you getting your head beat in today? Is it fear? Because we all deal with it to some way or some form or fashion. But I want you to know one thing. I was 27 years old. I died young. I died to fear, died to worry, died to that stuff. Not saying that I've not struggled with it since, but the overarching freedom is in my life. And in the last few years, God's been doing such a great work in my worries and my anxieties. And I look at that and say, why is that? Because God finishes what he starts. And God rescues completely, right? Completely. Some of us are a little slower than others. But I want to tell you, God gives us strategy to see us victorious over the grossest, over the hardest, over the toughest things that we might have. That's the kind of God we serve. He rescues. You know, when I think about fear and worry, I think about my own life. 27 years old, I'm 53 now, haven't died young, thank God, right? But even if I did, I can be able to say, "Lord, if you slay me, I'll trust you." Job said that. "Though you slay me, I will trust you." See, fear brings a snare, but trust in the Lord brings you high and lifted up. Not in an arrogant sort of way, not in a prideful sort of way. You're just secure, and you are with him in the heavenly, so to speak. That's what it says in Ephesians. And what is Jesus doing right now? He's ruling and reigning. So he rules and he reigns over the very things he rescues us from. And today we're going to be talking about fear. Fear, worry, and anxiety. You might not have had it to my degree, but we all in this place deal with worry and anxiety and stress and fear in some form or fashion. So what I want to do is I want to give you three things that we can do to walk the rescue out. And I'm telling you, God rescues completely. Remember what we talked about last week, where God comes and he takes you out of the pit of despair and out of the mire, and he takes you out and he puts you on the rock. Listen, the domain of darkness is in the pit. And I want to tell you, fear, worry, and anxiety is a part of the domain of darkness. And I can hear God say oftentimes, "I can set you free from that. You can be set free from that today. You can be rescued from that today." This is what God rescues us from. The very things that would distract us from seeking first the kingdom of God. Walking in worry and anxiety has our mind and our hearts on the stuff of this world, the stuff of this life. And most of those things are just assumptions about the future, and they're not even true. So I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not worrying and not fearing over all these other things. So what do I do? How do we do? There's a couple of things that I want to just share with you, some of the principles that God has led me through the years. The first thing in seeing rescue from fear and worry complete in your life, you have to understand that the basis of all fear is the thought of loss. It's the threat of loss. You are assuming that you're going to lose something. That's what fear is. It's thoughts of loss. the threat of loss, the assumption of loss. I had this assumption that I'd die young. Matter of fact, my dad said, Fritcher men die young. Didn't remember that until I was 26 trying to deal with this. So I had something generational going on. I had something where someone spoke over my life. And then I had something flesh going on. You know, I got free when I was 27 years old. And you know, there's this assumption about something in the future that never happens. When I was 30-something, I saw a magazine called Psychology Today. And on it had palms. And all their lines. I picked it up. And I realized that woman pointed at the wrong line. If we're going back, that my lifeline's really long. But she pointed at the wrong line. Isn't that just like the enemy? To seed thoughts in your mind and your heart that you run with. And you run and you run about assumptions of something that I'm going to lose, that ultimately I never lose. Now, I've got to be careful because, like Job fears the loss of wealth, children, and health. When the enemy comes and God says, do you see my servant Job? There's none greater like him in all the world. He loves me. There's righteousness in the life. He's the most righteous man. He said, well, skin for skin. Let me touch him and I'll show you what he'll do. You've blessed him with all these things that he loves. And let me take it away and let's see what happens to your guy. All his stuff is taken away from him. His children are taken away from him. You know what Job says? He says this in Job chapter 3:25. For what I fear comes upon me and what I dread has befallen me. The very things that I've been fearing has happened to me. When I look at folks such as in Scripture, the unfaithful steward. Do you remember him? The unfaithful steward. Their master is heading out on a journey and they give one 10 talents and one 5 talents and one. And the guy who takes the 10 talents or however many, he doubles it. And the next guy doubles it. But the guy with the 1 talent goes and he hides his talent in the dirt so that when he comes back, he's getting double his return on 2 servants. But the unfaithful servant says, well, here, I was afraid because I knew you were an exacting man and you reap where you do not sow. So I hid your money. But here it is. This unfaithful steward had a fear of failure. You know, guys, especially guys, we struggle with that. That's why we take very few risks in life. That's why sometimes we have a hard time obeying God. Because we have a fear of failing. So what we do is we hide the talent, we hide the gift, we hide the money, we hide whatever it gives us that God says, hey, I want to see increase in that because I'm faithful to do that because I'm the God of increase. I'm the God who multiplies. I'm the God that adds. I'm the God that blesses like this. Instead, we hide it because we're afraid. And it paralyzes us. You know what God calls that guy? A lazy, wicked slave. And why? Because of his fear. He assumed that he would lose. What about the disciples? Look at this passage for just a minute. The basis of all fear is this assumption of loss. It's the thoughts of loss. And the disciples in Mark chapter 4, and go on and turn there for a moment. Mark chapter 4 says this. On that day, verse 35, when evening came, he said to them, let's go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep in the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up, and he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Why are you timid? Why are you scared? Why are you worried? Why are you stressed out? Do you still have no faith? And they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey? Who is this great God? Notice the question, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Why are you worried? Why are you walking in this anxiety? Is it because you're not trusting? Yeah, because trust brings something totally different than what fear does. And fear is just the assumption that I'm going to die in this boat. If you don't do something, well, God says, listen, I'm going to do something. I'm the one that calms it. I calm the sea in your heart, in your life. You've got to understand the basis of all fear. It's the thought of loss. It's assumption of loss. It's assuming that I'm going to lose something. I'm going to lose in this relationship. I'm going to lose in this appointment coming up. And I'm going to be stressed out because of it, because this person's not going to show me grace. What have I done? I've just assumed something that I don't know is true. I'm going to die young. I'm sick, therefore I think I'm dying. I look at bills and I look at finances and I think I'm going to go bankrupt. Yeah, some of us go bankrupt. But most of us don't. And we worry and we fear and we think about things and we mull them over in our mind and our heart. And what does it do? It distracts us from being a part of the rescue. I can't tell you how many times that I've worried and feared when my kids were little and how much I missed of the moments in their life because I was thinking about another appointment coming or something else that was coming down the road or something that I had to do 3 days from now that I didn't think was going to be pleasant, that I didn't think was going to be happy. And so for 3 days, I moved through angst over it. And I missed time with my son and my daughters. I missed those moments. Oh, I'm there in their presence, but I missed it. Or I missed an appointment with one of you because I'm worried about the next person or the person after that or because these things are happening in my life. And what am I doing? I'm living my life on assumption and lies and not the truth. My God promises peace, life, joy, and the Holy Spirit. And even if I do lose, I don't lose that. Amen? I don't lose that. I don't lose the joy. I don't lose the peace. I don't lose the kindness. I don't lose the gentleness. Why? Because that's the eternal. And I get my eyes on that instead of the assumption of all these things that never happen. Well, maybe death's going to happen, right? But all the assumptions we make. When I begin to address the assumptions, God begins to do a work. So I want to understand the basis of all fear. It's in my mind. Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Bible says, listen, instead of worrying about all these things, look not at the temporal, but look at the eternal. Think of those things. I want you to turn to, first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And over the next few months, and not every week, I'm going to be sharing some things out of this passage of scripture that God's been doing in my heart over the last several months. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. They're divinely powerful to be a part of your rescue. Divinely powerful. And notice, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And watch this, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, I've got speculations happen here. I have these negative thoughts about the future. And what am I called to do? I'm called to take captive those thoughts and bring them from where I am to obey Christ. Every thought captive, the obedience of Christ. There's a great story, you all know it, that happened in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Turn there. You know the story, so we don't have to look at a whole lot of background for it, but 1 Samuel chapter 17 is the story of David and Goliath. And there are some things that he did when he faced his greatest challenge. I want to face life's challenges with trust and obedience of Christ, because those who fear, that becomes a snare. But when we trust in God and we move to the obedience of Christ by trusting God in this, we can face life's challenges with courage and we can move on. But I just want to say these fears, they come upon us and they paralyze us. And that's what's happening in this passage of scripture. Israel is paralyzed by one man named Goliath. And Goliath is taunting the armies of the living God. And they're scared to death. And finally he says, if I tell you what, you don't want to fight us, you pick your greatest guy and come out and fight me. And then whoever wins gets the spoils of the war. And they are scared to death. And King Saul, who's the one who ought to be going out there, is scared to death. And then David comes up and says, listen, I can do this thing. I can do this thing. And I want you to notice a couple of things. Verse 24. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. Verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's coming up? Surely he's coming to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the men who were standing by him. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? What are the benefits of doing that? The benefits is that your whole household will be free. You'll be rich, and you'll become the son-in-law of the king. What does he say? Sign me up. Here's the first thing I want to say about fear and worry, about changing your thought. Think benefits of courage. Think benefits of moving forward to God. Because there's great benefits in obeying Christ. Walking in the obedience of Jesus, there's great, great benefits. And I got to think that. I got to remember that. These guys are scared to death. And what David does is he thinks in his mind, wow, these benefits? Look at these benefits. The benefits of following Christ. The benefits of trust. The benefits of courage. My Bible says, if I fear, it's a snare. It's a noose around my neck. But if I trust, I get exalted. And it's not exalted about me and my flesh to say, oh, look how good I look. No, I'm just protected. And I'm moving along with God. I'm moving along with him. There's great benefits in trust. And for David, it's a great benefit. And he says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in accord with this word, saying, thus it will be done for the man who kills him. Now his brothers, they hear him, and they're questioning him, and they're angry at him for saying all these things. And he's saying, man, what did I do? I'm just asking a question. Verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now, I know that when Saul thinks, oh man, there's somebody who's going to go out, and he hears about it, he's looking forward to seeing who this guy is. And when the guy shows up, he's nothing but a scrawny 17-year-old, still with a ruddy complexion. Good-looking kid, but he's a kid. And I can just imagine his heart sinks. And this is what he says to him. You can't do this. You're not able to go against this Philistine and to fight with him because you're but a youth. You're nothing but a scrawny kid. And he's been a warrior from his youth, and he's never been a scrawny kid. Right? He's always been a giant of a guy. And so, do you know what he does? Not only does he think benefits of trust, courage, and obedience, he disputes and challenges thoughts of discouragement, loss, and failure. He's got people speaking to him, you can't do this, you will fail, you will die, you can't go up against this guy, he's too big for you, you can't come up against this sin, you can't do this teaching that God's asking you to do, you can't serve, you can't go, you can't do any of these things because you're unworthy, because you've lived such a horrible life, you can't do these things. And you know what he does? He challenges it and he disputes the thought. That's not true. That's not true. One of the greatest thoughts from my life, the challenge and dispute thoughts is that really true? Am I banking my emotional and spiritual being right now on something that's not true? I tell you what, that has freed me. It's how I take thought captive, the obedience of Christ. I challenge, dispute the negative thoughts that come my way. And you know what? You can do that too. You can do that too. Because what I want to do is, in my life, is I want to move from the lie that the enemy gives or that I allow myself to walk in. Because the enemy doesn't have to be 20 miles from me to believe a lie. I do that good enough on my own to need the enemy to do it. But I want to take that thought and I want to transform it. Because you see, what David said, he said, who is this guy that's defying God? He has such a great integrity for the heart of God. And he's saying, this guy doing this every day, it just makes God look weak. And we don't serve a weak God. We serve a great God. This guy is defying the armies of the living God. And I'm not going to stand for it. Because he deserves glory and deserves honor. David, at 17, is so concerned about the glory of God and who God is and who his character is. And so he's willing to take every thought captive to the obedience of the moment. And so he challenges the thoughts, and this is how he does it. He thinks of benefits of trust, courage, and obedience. He disputes and challenges thoughts of discouragement, loss, and failure. And this is what he does think. He thinks and remembers past rescues, past victories. And this is what David said to Saul when Saul was challenging him. But, David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after that lamb, after that bear, after that lion, and I attacked him and I rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion or from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me. He will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. And you know what I like about this is because man, you know, just picture, you know, you picture a lion with a lamb in its mouth taken away. Just picture this big giant with Israel in his mouth. And God said, I'm going to seize that guy by the beard and I'm going to save by the hand of God Israel. And he's going to deliver me out of his hand. That's what God's going to do. I love this. I remember and I declare past rescues, victories in view of how great God is. How he really is. Because you see, I can think of all the dangers and all the things that are out there and miss what God has. And what are the fears that we're having right now that's causing us not to obey Christ, to walk in the obedience of Christ because of our fears and our worries and our anxieties or our feelings of inadequacy. No, he says, hey, Saul, this is what's happened in the past and this is what is going to happen again. He's going to declare and he's going to walk in the truth. That's what he's going to do. Now, I love, he's going to have to do it again. Okay, he's going to have to go through the same process again because Saul is speaking negatively. He's speaking, you can't do this. He's not speaking along the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, if he was really concerned and cared for David, he said, David, you're too young. Let me take my position and go do what I'm supposed to do. But you know what he says? He said, okay, God be with you. Lord be with you. He sends him off into battle. Well, verse 41, the Philistine came on, approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, with ruddy, yet a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Yeah, another thought. I'm going to take it captive. But David said to the Philistine, you come to me with the spear and a javelin. You come to me with weapons of the flesh. But our weapons of warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful to destroy fortresses. Because I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. And this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down. And guess what? I'm going to remove your head from you. And I'm going to give the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly here that's been afraid of you may know that God does not deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into my hands or our hands. David declared and walked the truth. And he did it all for the integrity and the glory of God. Not for self. What are you afraid of? What are you worried about today? What are you angsting over? What is it that's before you that you're a nervous wreck about? What is it that's before you that you just can't handle, that you can't just get a handle on today because of something that might be taking place next week, that you're so uncertain of, but you are so certain of that you're so worried about, but you're really uncertain because you don't know the truth of that because that hasn't happened yet. That day hasn't come. What are you so worried, stressed about? We have a great God that delivers and rescues. And what he calls you to do, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. To find out more, call us at 254-445-2929. If you're a Facebook user, you can find us at Cottonwood Life or visit us online at cottonwoodlife.org. Proclaiming God's
truth in real life. It's time for our word to live by.